Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And on the line, as we always do, we have Cynthia Hosswinter and Janet Manco. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, everybody's here and accounted for.
Yeah. Sounds also bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Sure. That sounds good. All right. Here and accounted for sounds better for a newspaper, though, anyway.
Oh,
we'll let our listeners be the judges.
Present and choice. Present and accounted for, or bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
All right. Well, we'll go bright-eyed and bushy-tailed to one of the main headlines in a story by Deborah Alexanderson, and that is healthcare visitation rules are tightening as the infections climb.
We had this nice summer where I was not looking at the governor's daily updates on COVID-19 numbers, and of course now we're back to looking because the numbers are rising quite a bit every day. I think that there were...
Litchfield County just ended the highest rate once again, along with the rest of Connecticut, just yesterday.
Yeah, and we haven't run out of bed space, but there's, I think, a dozen people hospitalized in Litchfield County now. Generally, the highest numbers reported are in Torrington, but of course that's the biggest town and a hospital town. But we are hoping that it will not be worse than the original when we had the field hospital set up in the parking lot at Sharon Hospital, which happily we did not have to use. And hopefully now there's more facilities available after the renovation of those unused buildings in Torrington that had been turned into hospital facilities. But still very discouraging. And, you know, I think that we're all starting to know people who are having infections, and of course we know people who are getting summer colds at this point, and it's scary because you don't really know, you know, at this point, is it a cold, is it a COVID-19 Delta variant, is it a Lyme disease, so a nervous time for everybody.
All right, I want to go to the Rotary's Esterbrook Intern Award because you have a nice big story on the front page.
That is one of our most favorite times of the year, and we love having the intern program generally, but we love the Esterbrook Intern Award from Salisbury Rotary, especially because it reminds us of Bob Esterbrook, and Janet will talk about her remembrance of him in the viewpoint pages. But Sadie Lida, who is in the photo, the second from the left, that is her sister Petra on the far left, and her parents all came to a Rotary lunch at Noble that was so wonderful, and clearly both of her parents had at some point in their lives been to a Rotary meeting because they fit right in and got involved in all of the silliness and the fundraising and were delightful. And, of course, with our interns, we really don't ever see their parents during the summer because we encourage the parents to just stay out of the process because we feel that the interns need to be somewhat independent in order to really get the most out of the internship. So it's always nice to meet the parents, to meet the family. And Sadie was just a delight and did amazing work for us this summer. And we give her credit for the August Compass, which was visits to artists and their studios and wonderful write-ups and photos by Sadie and also by intern Annabelle Baum.
All right. I'll slide over to the other side and your COVID-19 notebook, Myths and Facts About the Vaccination.
More and more, of course, people are wondering, and sadly, just because you've been vaccinated doesn't mean that you are immune. But, of course, vaccination back on everybody's minds, especially as we're moving toward the period of the boosters becoming available. And, Janet, I don't know if you want to talk about this in the connection with the Boston Globe?
I'm happy to. You have a good introduction there that explains it. You know, we've been in touch with the Boston Globe over the past few years when they put out material, content, that they are sharing with other newspapers across the region. And so they offered this and other material on COVID-19 and vaccination especially to newspapers throughout the region of New England and beyond. And we took part in it. I had already editorialized about vaccination, so I shared that editorial with them at the Globe, and they are posting regional editorials from all the newspapers in the region on their website and doing links to all of the other websites, et cetera. But we're glad to, because they're a larger organization, they have the ability to do more research, and they are sharing that with us, and this is one of the pieces, and it's a Q&A about myths and facts relating to the vaccination.
And it's social media doesn't help out in instances like this, either pro or con. Here's a little bit of good news, though. I interviewed the head of the Goshen Fairgrounds this week. And Cynthia, I see you have, once again, a story there, the old-fashioned fun at the Goshen Fair. They're open, and they're having events again.
And it'll be interesting to see if, you know, if people come out masked largely, or, you know, it's people are tightly packed at that fair, but it really is one of the highlights of the summer. And so this is a preview story, even though you see a photo that is from our files. The Goshen Fair is coming up Labor Day weekend, as always, and we have an ad in our Compass section with the full schedule of what the fair is really about, which is, you know, agricultural judging. Although for many of us, it's really about the fair food and the rides and just a chance to get out. And it's like going to the Casbah or the Agora. You really just see so much of what our region is about. There's so many different types of people from all walks of life. It's just a fascinating study of humanity and of cows and horses and goats and rabbits, of course, but a little preview of some of the things we have loved in the past, but we will definitely be there Labor Day weekend.
And what I love about the tradition of the Goshen Fair, it doesn't run Thursday or Friday through. It runs the Labor Day weekend. It runs
right.
Those three full days. They've stuck with that tradition. But the Goshen Fair, the fairgrounds, it's good to see them because they even had the 4-H fair before that. So they're starting to get back into normal runs. As I turn the page, I see nice colors pictures there. Extra students join Lakeville Community, and that is a garden effort.
Susan Galuto and a number of volunteers decided that the kind of overgrown grassy area hidden behind an unsightly hedge over by the gas station in Lakeville just really needed to be fixed up. It's the entry into the town, and they felt it should be more beautiful and should reflect the fact that this is a very garden-y kind of an area. And so this group of volunteers put together, they took down the hedge, they built new fences, they put gardening in, and now they're really making an effort to kind of involve the community in it. There are benches there where you can sit, have a little lunch, as people often do. And the Extras program, which is the summer and after-school program from Salisbury Central School, often hear them walking to the beach from Salisbury Central during the day because, as tradition has it, of course, every time a truck goes by, they wave at it and the truck honks. But they came by the field and not only painted rocks, but painted rocks with the Latin names of some of the flowers there.
And we've got busy weekends coming up, and you can look at the paper and see the nice ad about the vintage race car parade on September 2nd. That's back this year, and of course, then Lime Rock has their vintage festival this weekend, and we're coming off, and your stories show it in our towns, celebrating 50 years as the threat of Henry loomed in our area.
The Salisbury Volunteer Ambulance Service, an extraordinary bunch of volunteers. We are one of the last free ambulance services in the region. We'll do an extended story on this in our Discover Salisbury special issue coming out in October, which is really about Salisbury, its history, and how it's changed. But a 50th anniversary party, Reese Harris and John Harney Sr. had started the ambulance corps after someone had died because there was a car crash. The person wasn't able to get to hospital care fast enough. And of course, so many volunteers, so many decades of service, incredible dedication, and still looking for volunteers always. And you don't have to be a person who gets trained as an EMT. You can do publicity. You can do bookkeeping. You can do accounting. There's just so much work that needs to be done, but really a fun day out and a chance for everyone to come out and thank those volunteers.
That 50 years of service. Now it's interesting because I want to slide over to the Kent Green. I heard the stories about the repaving. I didn't realize it was going to be this drastic of a repaving effort. I mean, it looks like they tore everything out that was there and putting in a brand new huge lot.
And largely, what you have is two very dedicated, very pragmatic business owners, John Casey and then the group that owns the Kent Barns. And they're largely the property owners of what we consider to be the Village of Kent. So a lot of that is in private hands. So John Casey had brought in a group to do repaving of that whole back area that includes Town Hall and the Chinese restaurant and the IGA and the hardware store. So that started about a week ago, and we had some incredible photos from Lance Christensen, which we could only share a couple of, but it must have been hot because every single guy in that crew had his shirt off. But hot enough for all of us, but when you've got buckets and buckets full of hot asphalt going down. It's hard to imagine. But I think that is going to be done with by the end of next week. And certainly there is efforts being made to help people drive in and out. And then there's also road work, I think, being done in Canaan, although I just drove through the center of Canaan. It was one of the first days when I didn't have to stop for traffic. But as we hear about the infrastructure bill going through, there's plenty of infrastructure work going on around here.
All right. And we flipped the page, and once again, there was lots of fun, the Cornwall picnic.
That's right. And there's my friends Jody and Gary and Casey and Wendy, and wonderful kids, and a wonderful story from Leela Hawken about going out to the Cornwall Community Picnic and just a good old time out in the green. And I would say, boy, the greens historically in our New England towns were where people gathered once or twice a year. They would bring their farm animals, they would have fairs, and Cornwall really uses its green. There's the farm market there on the Saturdays, there's the picnics, there's all sorts of stuff coming up. I believe there's the 5K run and wag for the Little Guild is coming up there in mid-October. But the picnic, another nice day out in Cornwall.
All right, Cornwall topics at the Board of Selectmen, barnyard animals, and seeking votes and permanent homes.
Right, and so Gary Sankol, who's in the photo at the left, and his partner Casey Cook, are doing so much stuff at the Cornwall Association. They've really brought it up to a super high professional level, and they have one of those art displays going on throughout the town of plywood animals, and people are voting on them now. So you can go to the Cornwall Association website to learn more about it. And they're also talking about building a new transfer station building, because as we've been talking about for the entire last year, there's been a lot of extra trash for the past year. And some towns, you know, Salisbury and Sharon, of course, have their beautiful new big facility and are able to manage it, although it still gets pretty crowded there. But Cornwall really got inundated, not only with more people using it throughout the year, but also with so many people using Amazon and lots of cardboard packaging, and it was a big strain on them. So they're building and expanding their facility there.
All right, a couple of things by Patrick Sullivan. I got tangled lines, but he's also got a story of the good and the bad of Elon Musk and Tesla.
Right, all the libraries are, you know, one good thing about Zoom is all these libraries have had very interesting talks that they've linked up to by Zoom. And so Tim Higgins had written a book about Elon Musk, and of course I think of Elon Musk every time I go to the grocery store in North Canaan, and there's the electric car charging station there that's so big that Christian Allen helped bring to town, and people are really using it. You see more and more Teslas and other electric vehicles. So a talk by this guy, Tim Higgins, about Elon Musk as a person, super complex, not always the person you want him to be, but certainly can get stuff done.
All right. I want to move on to the editorial page. And you've got a great editorial here, Janet. A good time to remember Bob Esterbrook, thanks to Salisbury Rotary. I remember after we started the radio station many years ago with Warren Gregory, originally back in 1986. I was wondering what Bob Esterbrook thought about it. And one day after we were on the air for a couple of years, he just came up and said, you know, you're doing a fine job. Getting his approval meant so much to me. And it wasn't asking for approval. Just getting his approval and respect was so big to me. He was just an amazing man.
He really was, and it's so nice to hear your remembrance of him. So many of us who have been in the community for a long time have that memory of some moment where he took the time and thought about what would be a good thing to do and let people know when they were doing things right and what he found interesting. And, boy, he never lost that engagement with the community over his long life. He just always was aware and... it's interesting, too, actually, Marshall, that he waited a couple years before he came and said, you know, he listened and, you know, came to a good result. So, it's what's also interesting is we do have a lot of new people in the community and, of course, young people who don't necessarily know who he was. And so, looking at the way he's seen by others who don't know him, he's just a name on an award, and I wanted to put some thoughts and memories out there about him and what he did for the community. This only scratches the surface, and really, I'd love to hear from people about their memories of him, the way Marshall just did. We'd love to have letters to the editor on that.
Well, he around at the beginning of the Lakeville Journal? No, but as far as I'm concerned, his stamp on it and his time when they took it over and they ran it really, really set the stage for very big things in the future.
You know, it's true. They set a standard that just was not necessarily normal for small-town papers. And, boy, he was with, you know, he died in 2011, and I came to the Journal in 98, Cynthia in 99. So both of us have vivid memories of every day he'd be at the Journal, reading the Wall Street Journal, reading the Times, Daily News, whatever papers he picked up at the PATCO, and he would enlighten us as to what was happening in the outside world as well as talk about what was happening in our communities. And, yeah, he just, you know, gave us quite a model to try to attain. A
couple of letters on the opinion page as well, both about the Salisbury Ambulance Squad and then the Lakeville Town Grove.
That's right. And so it's nice to have a week where the letters are really experiencing our region in the best of ways and acknowledging what we have that's of such great value here. So Sarah Morrison writes about the Lakeville Town Grove and how extraordinary it is that this group, she sent a photo, and it happened this week that we had room for that photo. So there's a photo of the Town Grove crew, and really, Stacy Dodge is amazing for how she has been there for decades, and just also there set a standard for how the Grove should look, and you know the services it should have for everybody, and how it welcomes people in.
All right, and on the Viewpoint page, of course, you've got Peter Steiner, but Matt Gordon's column on Grand Central Station changes for the better? Question
yeah,
mark.
It's really interesting because you know this is his expertise. He's an architect. And really sees it in a whole, you know, he notices everything. So give this a read if you've ever gone through Grand Central, and I think a lot of our readers certainly have, if not recently. He'll let you know what has changed, and it's fascinating. And so, yeah.
All right, and Cynthia will go to Compass, which is actually a pretty hefty Compass as everything's getting back into full effect.
It is, and sadly, for next week's Compass, you'll see things are starting to already go back to virtual or postpone for autumn. But for the moment, there's still plenty going on. There's a lot coming up, as you said, Labor Day weekend. We do have on the sports page a preview of the Historic Festival, yeah. Which, you know, I'm modestly interested in car racing, but I love the Historic Festival at Lime Rock. I go every year, and we'll definitely be there on Sunday for the parade. A Concours, really. They're not actually moving. Of the cars just parked all the way around the mile-and-a-half track. And this year the featured car is Porsche, but there's always plenty of historic Porsches there. But there's one particular collection of yeah. Porsche 911s. And then we've got a talk coming up on audiobooks. A lot of people around here, of course, you know, are actors. And there used to be a guy that would always teach a class on how to do voiceovers as part of the adult education program at the high school. But Peter Lerman is doing a talk on audiobooks, not just sort of, you know, aren't they great, and here's what you can hear, but also, you know, from a person who's a successful audiobook narrator, you know, what the business is about, how he got into it. Coming up also Labor Day weekend, but all the way into October, the Heritage Walks from yep. the Upper Housatonic Valley National Heritage Area. Ron Jones, so important in getting that started, a Salisbury resident, super inventive, smart guy, an oil industry attorney, I believe, and worked so hard to make this a federally recognized cultural area. And the Heritage Walks are an outgrowth of that. It used to be, I think, 2 days of hikes that were done in the Connecticut and Massachusetts area, all of them with some kind of a history or culture or nature explanation attached to them. Now it's all the way through from September into October. And, of course, coming up September 4th in Kent is a particular walk through the iron industry relic sites, and that talk is dedicated to Ron Jones and also to the late Ed Kirby. The two of them died very close together last year, and a huge loss to the area, people who really were so interested in and dedicated to the study of history here.
You know, spoke with Dan Bogliani about that, from that, and it's amazing what they put together and what ideas come to them and volunteers help enact in our area.
Lots of architecture this year, which is unusual, but yeah. Lots of really great stuff. We have a show at the D.M. Hunt Library in Falls Village, and it's, you know, I feel badly because we did this whole August issue about artists and their studios and books, and a lot of it was inspired by this book called Bookmarks that Garth Cobell had found, and that's at the centerpiece of the show at the Hunt Library. So the show is called Bookmarks. It's art dedicated to books. There's wonderful prints by Robert Parker. I bought two of them. Very affordable art that's for sale, and it's open for, I think, a few more weeks. Ed Furman has been writing this wonderful column about streaming, writes about The North Water, which I haven't seen, and The White Lotus, which I loved. My daughter and I couldn't wait for each episode to be dropped, and we highly recommend it, as does Ed. And then coming up this weekend is the Writer's Playground at Sharon Playhouse. I think people might have heard earlier in the summer there was a competition for people to write 10-minute plays, and so the winning plays are being presented on Saturday and Sunday.
And that this weekend. And then they've got a couple of other great events coming up after that. But it's nice. I mean, even when you look at the advertising, right now it's nice to see everything that people can go to. And you're right. We have gotten information about things that are probably going to be delayed or canceled. One of them was when we found out about the Jane Lloyd Fund, which we really felt struck by because they had pushed that back to October, I think. So hopefully we that won't happen again here in the region, hopefully.
Yes.
Well, once again, tricornernews.com, not only for the Lakeville Journal, but also the Millerton News. And you can get the newspaper by home delivery or pick it up at many locations throughout our area. But remember, it's tricornernews.com. Well, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And once again, we also put that up to wrap up everything at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.